Ramsey TV.
You think I should tell them that story from the bus stop? You think they'll be interested in that?
Yeah, I think you're right. They probably will.
I can't help myself anyway. No matter what advice you give me, I'm going to tell the story anyway. Even if it ruins me, I'm going to tell them. Hey, this is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. A funny thing happened to me this morning on the way past the bus stop. On the corner of Federal Highway and 17th Street, I was on my run, and there's a group of homeless people that hang out at the bus stop, and these are my people, so I like to stop and chat with them, always have a nice time. I always say good morning to them. I nod to them, and they say, hey, what's going on? One guy, as I'm running past, he does the Rocky theme. He goes, that's the Rocky theme. So they're a funny group of people. They're a different group every time. So I stopped today, and I'm talking with them, and this one guy points down at my feet. I'm going, what's wrong with my feet? And I'm wearing these socks. I'm going to show you these socks. This is what might ruin me when I show you this, but I'm wearing these socks, okay? They have this hole in the front, right? So half of my leg showing in front, because I don't know they ripped. I don't care. I wear them. He looks, he goes, dude, your socks are ruined. I go, yeah, I know, whatever. He goes, he reaches in his pocket, and he says, I got a new pair of socks for you. I said, what? He pulled out this beautiful new pair of socks. Here they are. He gave them to me this morning. So I was given a new pair of socks by a homeless man this morning. They felt sorry for me. Plus, I'm wearing this hat at the same time. This is my running hat. So you can see it has like two portholes. It's good for the circulation there. You can see there. Anyway, the homeless people felt sorry for me. Maybe as it gets closer to Christmas, I'll get a new hat. But right now, I have a brand new pair of socks, compliment of a homeless person at the corner of Federal Highway and 17th Street here in Fort Lauderdale. So it's a wonderful Christmas season. So today, I'm planning on just two more shows on this series. I want to finish on a nice Israel number 12. So this is number 11. Can't finish the series on number 11. This just can't do it. So today I'm going to let Thomas Kissinger talk to you about being an overcomer. That's a big phrase in the Christian world because it's a big phrase in the Israel world. It comes from the book of Revelation. Overcoming is something you have to do in order to survive. And these men are Stephen Jones and Thomas Kissinger. I know you're tired of hearing their names, but I have to do this because part of my charge, as you know, 2 Timothy 4:2, expose, rebuke, and entreat. Oh, by the way, I didn't review this yesterday. I meant to. I met Stephen Jones in Michigan back in 97, 98, maybe 95. I was invited to teach at a church up there. Some of you have already heard this. And on the salvation of all, a weird thing is a lot of the people who are teaching the Israel kingdom, they believe in the salvation of all. So, you know, people get excited about that, and they think that, again, because they're teaching the salvation of all, then everything's right, but not necessarily so. As I've told you several times, the salvation of all is not the gospel. The gospel is the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. The gospel leads to the salvation of all. The salvation of all is a result of Christ on the cross, but you can believe in the salvation of all, but not get there via the cross of Christ. And if you do that, then it's an illegal route. It's all based on the cross of Christ. I want to make sure before I play another clip from our friend Thomas Kissinger, before I do that, this is another review. I have to talk to you about the anathema, just to review real quick. I told you yesterday, it's very, very bad to mix the gospel of grace with law. Very bad. But it's worse than that because Paul actually pronounces a curse. This is him doing it, not me. I don't have the guts to do this, but Paul does it. So I kind of have to follow suit. I mean, it's the thing to do. The curse is called the anathema. You've probably heard it. We use it in common, you know, sometimes you say, oh, that guy's anathema. In other words, he's an outsider, he's no good. What it means is, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means devoted to destruction. So it's a very serious thing. Paul does it twice. As I told you yesterday, read Galatians chapter 1 on your own. Paul pronounces an anathema on any teacher. It's a serious thing to mix law and grace. It's a very serious thing to not understand the difference between the two gospels. Some people say, well, I'm just playing it safe. I'll just put it on one gospel. You're not playing it safe. Your teaching and you yourself are devoted to destruction. It doesn't mean you'll be eternally tormented. And if you're in the body of Christ and you're doing this, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you'll miss out on rewards. Your teaching is doomed. It's going to be blown up at the dais of Christ. Pfft, the mushroom cloud. What's that mushroom cloud? Oh, that's Thomas Kissinger's teaching. He's saved if he's in the body of Christ. I don't know. I'm not his judge. But once you're in the body of Christ, of course, you know, you're always in the body of Christ. And wait till you hear what Kissinger says at the end of this clip about the body of Christ. In fact, should I play that now? No, before I do, I've been wanting to do this for days. I want to give you three verses that will solidify for you what it means to be sanctified. I told you yesterday that Paul called the Corinthians sanctified. You're holy. Right now, you're set apart and you're called saints. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start with verse 28. God chooses the contemptible things and that which is not, that he should be discarding that which is, so that, here's the key, so that no flesh at all should be boasting in God's sight. Well, that's the launching pad for this. Remember, no flesh at all should be boasting in God's sight. But think of this, if you're saved by any kind of work, then you have reason and room to boast. Paul's gospel eliminates boasting because it's of grace. So, yet you of him are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God, yeah, besides righteousness and holiness and deliverance. So here we have Christ becoming holiness and righteousness. We're all ready to admit, well, yeah, Christ is righteousness. He became righteousness. Any righteousness we have, it shines off of him. It's given to us through him. Of course, we understand that. But look, holiness or sanctification is in the same context. So he became also holiness to us. He's the ultra holy one. He's the uber sanctified one. So we're sanctified through him. And deliverance. Our deliverance is through him. So it's all right here in one package, all three elements. Righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. That according as it is written, he who is boasting in the Lord, let him be boasting. But these guys will have you boast. They won't tell you to boast. But they're saying that once you're justified by faith, then you begin a sanctification program, sanctification process. But if you embark on such a thing, you would have room to boast. Because apparently, you are on the sanctification process. Other people aren't. So you look down your nose at them, and whether you admit it or not, it's like, I'm on the sanctification process. What's your problem down there? Not on the sanctification process. That's boasting. But according as it is written, he who is boasting in the Lord, let him be boasting. It's the Lord who is our sanctification. He's our holiness. We get it as it's reflected off of him. Starts with him, comes to us. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Now we ought to be thanking God always concerning you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, seeing that God prefers you, get this, prefers you from the beginning into salvation in holiness of the Spirit and faith in the truth, into which he also calls us through our evangel for the procuring of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is God preferring us? Remember, I told you a case could be made. And I'll make it. I'll make this case. You'll see. A case can be made that we were sanctified before the disruption of the world. Called with the holy calling. God calls us before the disruption of the world. He designates us beforehand, before the disruption of the world, Ephesians 1, first four verses there. So he prefers us from the beginning for salvation in holiness. From the beginning in holiness. You hear that? From the beginning in holiness. I told you, you're a saint on day one, and you're sanctified on day one. So much for the process of sanctification. One more verse on this is from a circumcision writing, but it's a transadministrational truth. Hebrews 12, verse 10. Are you ready for this? Paul says, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, so that settles it, right? For these indeed disciplined for a few days as it seemed best to them, yet that one, capital O, for our expedience, Christ, for our expedience disciplines us, for us to be partaking of his holiness. There's the money phrase right there. For us to be partaking of his holiness. We partake of his holiness. Again, goes along with that 2 Thessalonians 2, was it, where it's his holiness we come into. It's reflected off of him, just like righteousness is, just like deliverance is. I told you on show one of this series that sanctification, being made holy, is an act of God. It's not a process of human attainment. Let these verses, how many verses have I given you? There's some more. All right, now we move on to another segment of this tape made by Thomas Kissinger. And if you're getting tired of this, I don't know how could you possibly be getting tired of this? This is exciting to me because we're living out the same drama that Paul and the believers lived out in the first century. This is why this is so exciting. I mean, we look back and if I could live in the Bible days, must have been so exciting back then. We get this romantic idea about what it was back in the Bible days. Things were so exciting then. Folks, we are in the Bible days. You realize we're struggling with the same struggles. The same deceptions are coming into the body of Christ. Oh, justification by faith is nice, but you need to go on. You need to become sanctified. That's the next step, which involves overcoming. It involves conquering. It involves basically obedience. Yep, covered that yesterday. This is a lie. This is a lie. But you're living out the drama. This is important. All right, so I want to play a short clip, and as always, I will interrupt very soon.
And we become what we have been declared to be through justification by faith. We are becoming one with God and in agreement with Him, and becoming the body of Christ.
Okay, did you hear that? Becoming the body of Christ. This is so bad. Becoming the body of Christ through the sanctification process. These men, Stephen E. Jones, in case you've forgotten. I did say that I met the guy, right? Yeah, I met him up in Michigan. Nice guy. Shook his hand. We talked. We both believed in the salvation of all. I have no problem with him personally, okay? Neither do I. I got to keep mentioning this. This is a professional issue. This is a scriptural issue. This is an issue that compromises Paul's gospel. Okay, I think Jones will remember meeting me, Stephen Jones. I think he'll probably remember. Like I say, it was the mid-90s. Never met Thomas Kissinger. So anyway, you heard him. Becoming the body of Christ through the sanctification process. So they assume that becoming holy is a process where you go to Mount first, you're justified by faith. Nice start, but not good enough. Then you go to Mount Sinai. Then you start learning about the law. Then if you're lucky, if you work hard, you become holy. They're now taking that assumption, which is false, and they're saying by this process, you are becoming the body of Christ. Now, you see how they're transferring it now. They're taking what could be construed to be an Israelite truth, where you do work, you do overcome. That's all true for the Israelites. And they're throwing the body, they're taking the body of Christ, this pure, pristine thing that must not be tainted. Now they're saying you're becoming the body of Christ. I got one verse that blows that up. One verse. Yeah, but Martin Zander, do you have two? I don't need two verses. I only need one. Do people often say that to you? When they want to know about the salvation of all, you say, well, 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. I mean, that verse knocks down the whole truth of the salvation of all. And people say to me, has this happened to you? Yeah, but do you have another verse? say to them what I say to them. I say to them, I don't need another verse. I have 10 more verses. But they'll just keep asking you for another verse, another verse, another verse. I said, no, deal with that one. But I want another. No. Answer that one. See, keep holding them. You only need one verse. So I'm going for this. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12 is the chapter dealing with the body of Christ. And I don't know if you can get any plainer than this anymore, more direct. Thank you, Paul, for not beating around the bush on this. Remember, he's saying this to the same people, the Corinthians, that I told you about yesterday, who are sinning all over the place, very soulish, very emotional people, bickering, fighting, competing for gifts. One guy's screwing his stepmother. They're just... And Paul calls them saints at the beginning of his letter. Talk about endearing himself to the Corinthians. Can you think of a better way to make someone feel welcomed and grateful than somebody comes in and they know you're a hot mess and they just say, I love you, you're a saint? It just melts you. The Corinthians would have been melted. They loved Paul. Because Paul didn't come in wrecking them. Paul didn't come in challenging them. How are you doing on your sanctification process? Let me see your charts. Bring out your charts. Oh, you haven't been sanctified very much this week. No, he calls them saints. Boom. And I think many of them were smart enough. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe some of them came in and say, well, us, Paul, you don't know. Paul, don't. No, don't call us saints. How many times have you heard fellow members of the body of Christ do this? Oh, no, no, you don't know who I am. No, you don't know how bad I am. No, you can't include me in your fellowship. I'm a terrible sinner. Really? What a newsflash. You're a terrible sinner. Wow. I didn't know that. Who the hell do you think you are? Of course you're a terrible sinner. You know, people who... I might be talking to somebody in the audience right now. People who are so... self-condemning and who say things like, why didn't I do better? I could have done better. I'm just not a good person. I don't deserve to be in the body of Christ. Who do you think you are? You know, it's all a backhanded form of creature worship. You think so highly of yourself that you should be worthy of this calling, and you're disappointed in yourself that you're not. Who do you think you are? So these Corinthians, Paul just right out the bat calls them saints. And look what he does in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Mind you, he's only 12 chapters past chapter 1 where he's in the same letter where he calls them saints. And he knows their problems. He knows their problems. You are the body of Christ. How dare Thomas Kissinger sneak this in and say, we're becoming the body of Christ as if it's a process of attainment? It's so subtle. But to me, when I heard becoming the body of Christ, it just screamed out to me, it's a false gospel. Taking the body of Christ and muddying it with the processes that belong to Israel. This is not a process. Now you are the body of Christ, members of a part whom also God indeed placed. God placed you in the ecclesia. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, thereupon powers, graces, healing. And Paul goes on and talks about the gifts of those in the body of Christ. But the point being there that you are the body of Christ. It happens on day one, just like salvation, justification, and sanctification, holiness. The only thing remaining, there is one thing remaining, but this, not even this is a process, and that's glory. That's the one thing that's left is our glorification. Hasn't been done yet. Not to my knowledge. I mean, I know I'm looking pretty spiffy here with my jacket, my shirt, but I'm not glorified yet. No. But stand before you justified, sanctified, a member of the body of Christ, separated by God. And I can look you in the eye and say that, no matter what else is going on in my life, because it's an act of God. It's a declaration of God. I wanted to get in the very next thing. What did I play? 8 seconds of the clip. I plan on getting into the overcoming thing. I got something to tell you tomorrow concerning overcoming. That if you ever had any worries or concerns when you read the book of Revelation and you read in three places where he who overcomes, the concordance says conquering, only if you conquer will you eat of the tree of life. Only if you conquer will you be commended by Christ. This is an Israel message. Revelation was not written to the body of Christ. It was written to Israel to take the theme of overcoming or else, which is that's what Revelation is. Sorry, overcome or else. It's a work. To take that and to import it into justification by faith, it's anathema. It's devoted to destruction. I have to tell you this. Doesn't make me happy. I wish that everybody kept these two evangels separate, but they don't. So tomorrow will be the final installment, part 12. And tomorrow, to give you a preview, I'm going to talk about overcoming. It's a treacherous phrase. I heard that all through my early training in this. When I first started reading about God, you know, back in 82, 83, 84, I was plugged into these. This is why I know these people. This is why I know Stephen Jones. This is why I know people like Thomas Kissinger, because I read this stuff for like 5 years. This whole thing about becoming like an Israelite, the attraction of the Israelite message. And the key, one of the big words was overcomer. There was even a magazine called The Overcomer, I think. It was all about overcoming, being an overcomer, being an overcomer. It's like, why don't you just get a t-shirt? I'm an overcomer. Are you really? Well, congratulations. I guess you get to eat at the tree of life. What about these other people who are out here eating cold oatmeal? Wow. They weren't overcomers. There's room for boasting. Yet in this gospel of ours, there is no room for boasting. Because it's all a work of Christ. And then, as a crescendo, the final pièce de résistance of this series, I will play for you the final 15 seconds of Thomas Kissinger's tape. And you will hear one of, and this sounds like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not, one of the most appalling sentences, string of sentences that you've ever heard. It's, let's see. I want to call it hideous, but maybe that's a little strong. Let me just say horrible. It's horrible. And yet it's uttered by a man looking very calm in his car. And it could easily be swallowed by people who, oh, that sounds reasonable. Huh? But behind it is like a 10-headed monster. It's that bad. I'm going to point that out to you. It's my final act. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to play that last part. And then I'm going to put on my socks. Yes, these same socks. Put on my hat. I'm going to walk past the homeless people again and see what else I can get.